Being the first usually brings with it immediate celebration, honor, respect. Usually. On June 28, 1976, 157 women were the first women to enter the Air Force Academy. Well, they were not universally welcomed. They were not universally embraced. They were not universally treated equally. Yet those 157 women and the thousands who were following them endured and achieved in the Air Force, as they have in all branches of our military. Did those who were first create the changes that were overdue? Well, in many ways they did, but their legacy, as we hear too often, that's being somewhat threatened today. My next guest, with her new book, brings the stories of these women who are shining examples of what it takes to overcome the expected as well as the unexpected. Their stories are told in the book, Necessary Turbulence, 50 Years, One Unbreakable Sisterhood, forged in the crucible of the Air Force Academy. She is also a former U.S. Air Force commander, decorated pilot, and lead editor of Necessary Turbulence. Eileen Isula, how are you, Eileen?
Hey, Chris, thank you very much for having me. I'm doing fabulous today.
Well, thank you for doing this book, because this is one of those books, and you can read more and find out more and get a copy at NecessaryTurbulence.com. We have that link at our homepage. This is one of those, why haven't these stories been told before? And as you say earlier in the book, well, no one has asked until now.
Yes, exactly. It was just a profoundly evident that over 3 years ago, when a small group of us kind of got together, the words were uttered out into the universe of, we should write a book. And, you know, 3.5 years later, that's exactly what we did. Nine of us came together, not just me, nine of us came together and led the creation of this incredible story of this historic group of women who, the common denominator was that all of them went through the crucible of the Air Force Academy. But from there, their lives just went out in all directions of careers and professions and faiths and geographies. And yet that same common denominator, and the book tells this story, carries through across the entirety of the 50 years of their stories. And it's just a phenomenal, it's one of the things I often say is, for those that remember Hidden Figures, the book and the movie, this is the next Hidden Figures. It's an extraordinary story. And I don't say that just because I was on the writing team, but it truly was one that needed to be told.
And it's important to note, too, because there have been books in the past in related, unrelated topics. You read a story, then you go into the story. There's a division. There's a separation between the stories. You've created a narrative with the firsthand experiences that you've collected from 108 women. How important was that in communicating the message that you needed to do in Necessary Turbulence?
That was really the crux and the focal point of this whole story. You could have just somebody, a historian or whoever, sit down and write this single, you know, narrative arc. But to tell this singular story in the collective we voice that is told with and through the voices of these 108 women who lived these lives across these 50 years, each of the 50 years, from 1976, as you said, when the doors opened, all the way through to 2026, with the woman, the voice in the book of a woman who just graduated from the Air Force Academy. And they're all in there, and that is just the power that forges forth out of the pages. And it's not a book, it's a universal human story that certainly women everywhere will certainly see themselves in all of the pages and the stories.
Oh, sure. These stories are not limited to life in the military, just whatever chosen career or life itself. And as I use that word, overcomer, with very good reason. And you'll find out, too, as you read Necessary Turbulence. What were the expectations of the women? And do the stories do a then and now of those expectations? How these women see themselves or saw themselves or continue to see themselves, has that changed over time?
Yes and no. So certainly the expectations in, for the first several classes of women, particularly in the 1980s, those expectations were, frankly, they were often kind of moving goalposts, because you had not only, you know, military or academic expectations, but there were also the cultural within the institution itself. And then even after we graduated and went out into the Air Force, you know, there was the totality of a culture and an institution that, that had never imagined us. And, although did their best to prepare for, women, there were things that, that either couldn't have been foreseen or were just, the institution could legislate so much, but culturally there was often just a big, yeah, no, we really don't want them here. And that continued on often out into, particularly for, like I said, for those earlier classes, much less so today, in the recent years, the, you know, the two classes from the 2000s, the 2010s, and we're still, it's still a little bit early, even though it's 2026, still a little bit early. The jury would still be out on the 2020 year groups there as to how, they're perceiving, women are perceiving, you know, their development of their careers, in, within the military. And of course, it's the Air Force and the Space Force now.
Talking with Eileen Azzola, who is the lead editor of Necessary Turbulence, 50 Years, One Unbreakable Sisterhood, Forged in the Crucible of the Air Force Academy, NecessaryTurbulence.com, the website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. The women certainly, while treated with inequality among leadership and rank and file, they weren't given a break. They were treated as any recruit would be, judging by some of the stories I've read about, you know, the in-your-face yelling, the expectations to do what's necessary to fit into the role that you're looking to be a part of. There were no breaks for the women in the fair side of things. How that seems like a great imbalance, where they're treated equal in training but facing inequality in day-to-day life.
Yeah, the interesting dynamic is that absolutely all treated the same. We all went through the same training. We all ran the same obstacle courses and assault courses. We all ran the same physical fitness tests and aerobic fitness tests. Everything was the same. The difference is that, you know, if the reality being that if a man fell short in some way, it was that one person who had fallen short. If a woman failed in some way, then it was a reflection on all women everywhere. And that was really key for all of us women then and continuing now, having to constantly calibrate and navigate and figure out how to often shape shift and morph ourselves to meet stated expectations, policies, requirements, and the unstated things of what it takes. And always did. We just did. We figured it out without precedent, without a template, and usually with little to no margin for error. And we just did. And that's part goes back to that universal story, and particularly for women in a multitude of professions. I can see, as I say these words, I am seeing women's heads nodding vigorously up and down in a great number of professions that women are in and find themselves in that same space of going, yeah, I can relate to that.
As I made reference in the introduction too, you think that things have been established and accomplishments and achievements have erased unfairness, but we see the current leadership of the military, Pete Hegseth in particular, grossly, is it coincidental? Is it purpose? That's only one person can answer that, but when you look at the fact that around 21% of the U.S. military are female, and on an increasing frequency, the number of women getting removed from promotion lists is almost an entirety. That just doesn't seem like a balanced scale in any way, shape, or form.
No, it's not. And the there's a couple things that play into that. So it's certainly deliberate, because with the stroke of a pen, either women have not, like you just mentioned, the recent Navy promotion list, that there were no women on out of a Navy with that's 21% women. And in addition, there were have been other promotion lists where women were removed from the already vetted, already gone through the entire process of meeting promotion boards and selections and all of that. And after those promotions had been made, were still removed. So there's a that's a deliberate decision and act there. We're seeing these block promotions. It's not just a new resistance to women in military service. It's the same resistance. It's just now got a new name. Often the word meritocracy gets tossed out there as the reasons. But when, you know, when nearly 60% of the senior officers removed are women or black in the case of that one promotion list, and then again the Navy's that had no women, that's not meritocracy. We have a pattern. There's a pattern that has developed, and patterns don't happen by accident. And the dominoes effects that come from there, because these military promotions are supposed to be insulated from exactly this kind of political interference. And so this, you know, I'll leave it up to the senators and Congress people to decide as far as whether this is just some policy action or whether it may actually be illegal. That's not my call to make, but there, it's certainly a question that's being asked and looked at.
I think what Eileen does, too, with necessary turbulence, unintended, I'm assuming, but it brings to light the inequality that women have overcome and still have to overcome. And that just doesn't just hold true in the military. You can pretty much place that concept and place that hurdle in almost every part of life and every part of whatever your chosen career happens to be. But when you read these stories and the means of presentation that Eileen and her editors have presented the stories of these 108 women from all eras of the Air Force Academy and their graduation and what they went on to in their chosen careers, drive, purpose, determination, that's something no one can ever take away from anybody. It's only you who can allow it to be given up by your own choice and by your own decision. These are inspiring stories I think will make a difference for everyone who reads them. Necessary Turbulence, 50 Years, One Unbreakable Sisterhood Forged in the Crucible of the Air Force Academy. Get your copy at necessaryturbulence.com. Eileen, thank you so much for preserving this important part of our military history and the motivation and inspiration that it provides everyone who's going to read it. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Chris, very much. This is a wonderful book of evidence that we don't need to go redebate old debates, because the evidence is clearly in existence and we've now documented it.